This is not your granddad's job market. I want to be clear about that. Yeah. It is not about you having this one skill and then you staying with it and then you graduate, you retire, and then you go play golf and Netflix and chill. No, the old world has passed. You may have several lifetimes in one lifetime, because as long as you stay skilled and you keep upgrading your skill level, reskilling and upskilling, this is you hear this all the time, and it's real. It's a real conversation. As long as you keep doing that, that the world will be your oyster, because there is a need for people with skills, with vision, and with ability.
Hi everyone. Welcome to Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. If that describes you, then this is the podcast for you. If you're a freelancer, a startup or small business, a well-established company, a nonprofit, or even someone thinking about a second or possibly a third career, this is for you too. You see, here in Looking Forward, we focus on global trends in the future, but most importantly, on the opportunities they're creating. Our guest experts will not only tell you about those opportunities, they will also give you some tips to help you take the first steps toward capitalizing on them. I'm your host, Jeff Ostroff. Hi, everyone. Did you know the future is ripe with opportunities for those who understand both the big and the lesser-known global trends? That's some of what we learned in part one of our two-part series with renowned futurist Chet Sisk. In part two, Chet's going to share more of those opportunities, along with some outstanding tips on how to capitalize on them as we move through this decade. To learn more about Chet, listen to the episode and check the show notes. And please, don't forget to give us feedback about this or any other Looking Forward episode. Now, before we get started, I want to say a few words about our sponsor, SupaPass. Do you make podcasts, video courses, or other content? Well, that means you need your own engaging website and mobile app for everything you make. And SupaPass can help. Turn your followers into superfans and paid customers. Elevate your brand with your own stunning website and mobile app. And with SupaPass, it's never been easier. SupaPass is the most powerful content app maker on the market. And now you can try it for free. Or like me, you can be on one of their other plans. Enter code LOOKINGFORWARD, all one word, all caps, looking forward, and get a 10% lifetime discount on any of their plans. Go to superpass.com. That's super with an A, superpass.com. And hey, if you want us to mention your organization on the show, please contact us for more details. Now let's continue our conversation with Chet Sisk, telling us about more of the opportunities he's seeing now and into the future.
There's another thing too that's happening, and it's very interesting. It's subtle, but it's happening. There is a trust crisis all over the world, because people, they're having troubles trusting their politicians, their usual institutions, even their religious forums. I mean, they're really struggling. So everybody, heck, even their neighbors, they're like, I don't trust anybody. So that's a challenge all the way across the board. And so the real companies that are going to position themselves quite well, and individuals, professionals, are going to position themselves well when they use trust as the new currency, that they lead with trust. They not just say, hey, trust me, but they show themselves to be trustworthy. That means making your materials and everything that you are transparent in social media platforms so that people can find out everything they need to know about you. That means spending more time with people. Could stop making relationships transactional. They actually have to be real relationships. That whole transactional thing that was very popular in the 80s and 90s and creeped into even now, that is passé because of the fact that there is a trust factor that's out there. And so anytime you start using trust as the new currency, you're going to be light years ahead of everybody else out in the field, because people are looking to fill that trust gap. And you can fill that gap simply by just presenting yourself in that way. And that means you got to do your due diligence. I mean, you have to say, am I trustworthy? Would people want to trust me? Would I trust me if me approached me? So that becomes that come to Jesus meeting that a lot of people are going to have about their own company and their professional selves. But it's a great meeting to have because you're going to have to get to the place of saying, how do I show up as trustworthy? I keep saying this over and over again, the high road is also the high ground. So once we see that showing up in integrity gives us an advantage in the arena now that exists, you won't look back. Trust me on this one. So that's a good thing. It makes us more conscious of the way that we walk through the earth. And one of the other ones, too, is there is a great deal of opportunity inside of the aging population. I've said this earlier about the population bust, but the reality is that everywhere around the world, there is a deep need for services and support for people, part of our aging population. And I have friends all around the world. They keep saying the same thing. I mean, there are companies that are recruiting them, trying to get them here over to the States and other parts of Asia. China's reaching out and saying, we have to find care workers wherever they are in the world. So it is a huge opportunity if you're in the care worker business. It's amazing. And it's not going away anytime soon. I mean, we may be at a care worker shortage for the next 10 to 20 years. So it's like, okay, what do we have to do? And they're willing to make all kinds of concessions in the care business for nurses, doctors, specialists, everything, because we have this giant population that is older. I think one of the other things that we're actually seeing too, which is interesting, this is going to be a little Star Trek-y, but I have to go out there. There's opportunity inside of the space industry that I didn't pay attention to up until recently. And then I started saying, oh, okay. They're looking also not only for technicians, you know, people who actually are skilled in these talents and those kinds of things, but they're really also looking for people who just are speculative. They'll sit back. You don't have to be a theoretical physicist, but you do have to sit back and say, what if? You have to be able to articulate that you're one of those what if people, especially inside of the space industry. They're actually looking for people who have that capacity, that are able to go get out there, because we have now the technology to get out there. But whether or not we have the will or the mental leadership that use that technology to get out there, that's the other question. So they're looking for bright, innovative, thinking individuals. Everybody's looking for that, really. Every company out there is looking for those individuals. So it's really a great time if you have this kind of energy about you where you can sit back and say, I can articulate a bigger vision of what's possible. This is not your granddad's job market. I want to be clear about that. It is not about you having this one skill and then you stay with it and then you graduate, you retire, and then you go play golf and Netflix and chill. No, the old world has passed. You may have several lifetimes in one lifetime, because as long as you stay skilled and you keep upgrading your skill level, reskilling and upskilling, this is, you hear this all the time, and it's real. It's a real conversation. As long as you keep doing that the world will be your oyster, because there is a need for people with skills, with vision, and with ability. I don't want to paint too rosy of a picture. But this is not hyperbole. I'm not being mistaken when I say there is a need for this level of people to come into the workforce, and people will beat a path to your door.
I believe you, Chet. In fact, I guess I'm going to call myself a futurist, but I got here a little bit early as a futurist. Back in 1989, my book, Successful Marketing to the 50-plus Consumer, was released. And in that book, there's a chapter on the future, marketing to the mature consumer in the 21st century. But also, one of the trends that I talked about was career exit, career reentry. And that was back in 1989, 90, when I was talking about the 50-plus population. And as you may know from a prior conversation I had with you, back in the late 80s and into the 90s and into the 21st century, I was talking to people about the aging of the population around the world. This is something that was very predictable. Some got involved with it, perhaps a little early, but it's still a great opportunity that's not going away.
Right.
I just want to come back at you to have you add a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You mentioned AI, and you mentioned loneliness. You mentioned with AI, there's the Jetson factor. It's arrived, and now people are afraid of it. So what's the counterpoint in terms of opportunity without getting too deep into that? That I've had a guest on who's talked about this, AI, and was also very optimistic about it.
Yeah.
And Manoj Agarwal, I'll put Manoj's name in there. Okay. And then loneliness is a negative, but there's also a positive there. So can you talk a little bit about what might be opportunities for people, individual people, as well as small, big businesses, entrepreneurs, investors, college students, where are their opportunities there?
Absolutely. I'm going to say some of the things that he probably said. And one of them is the whole aspect of augmentation. I'm huge on this because I think that people may not fully understand. We are usually set given these binary scenarios, right? Technology, AI is going to be our overlords and we'll be the poor, unwashed masses, or we're going to get rid of AI and go back to the agrarian society of the 1800s or whatever. Both of those extremes, I always say when people come up with extremes, just run from them because they're not dealing with the nuance. The reality is that what AI has done is created an opportunity for us, then I'll get to the loneliness part, but it has created an opportunity if you're a small business person to be able to leverage the technology that can actually duplicate or triplicate, if you will, your possibilities and your tools, simply because you don't have to do the drudgery work that you used to have to hire all these people for. It immediately does something to your overhead because now you don't have to have the same personnel to do that. So people say, oh, that puts people out of work. But I say what it really does is that with the people that you do have, it gives them the tools to become even greater inside of the company. And I think that's the part that we keep leaving on the cutting room floor, that we don't stop and say, okay, I've got these people. What technology exists that can make them even greater and thus making the company greater, making you greater? And so we need to look at it from that augmentation place as opposed to either or. Either it's all AI or no AI. It's somewhere in between. And that's not necessarily like a temporary stop. It only means that you're now creating an environment that leverages that technology and leverages the skill set of your people and their insight so that they can become greater. Your company becomes greater because the technology allows them to become greater. So that space, I see, you're going to hear more people talk about job augmentation going forward because they're finally getting past the doom and gloom Terminator conversations and getting to, but wait, combine the two and create great stuff and keep people employed. And the people we do keep employed, they become greater. All of those things. Now, when it comes to the loneliness epidemic, here's the thing that I think is absolutely important for us to understand about this, the AI evolution. And this is something certainly that my company is doing. We're spending a lot more time making sure that people understand this technology is not just about business. It is about making the world a better place. I know you've heard the conversation. Your listeners, I'm sure they're like, oh, okay, make the world a better place. We can solve all of our problems. But it's, again, that's not hyperbole. Actually, we do have the tools to be able to start to address our social issues, including the loneliness epidemic and even drug addiction and all of the things that's the central causes of a lot of things. Now, we have to deal with the source, like, is the society so problematic that people, you know, they can't function in it? That's what causes a lot of people to go into loneliness and drug addiction and all of these things. That's real. We have to deal with that. But we now have better tools of being able to help people to deal with those things, as opposed to back in the old days, we'd say, well, there's not much we can do based around the technology that we have. Well, we're past that. We have the technology to do massive things, particularly in the medical world, that we didn't think about before. So what I'm saying to those who are suffering through loneliness, hang on, because of the fact that there are more tools out there to help you to navigate this space better. The tools can't do it, but the tools can help you as you do it. And that's what we're doing at UBR. We're spending a lot of time talking about how can we leverage this technology to help solve the social ills, because we have tools we never had before. So I think that there's going to be this merging of the technology and resolving our social ills. I already see we're leaning in that direction now. Certainly our company is leaning in that space. And I see that as a growth area that we've just, I think a lot of people threw up their hands after a while and started looking at homelessness and said, there's nothing we can do. And what I'm suggesting is that we haven't thought of the solution yet, but the technology to create the solution is already there.
Fascinating. I also wanted to add, Chet, that there is definitely another area of opportunity that is allied with what you talked about. And I'm thinking about the loneliness and you threw in AI and technology. And we're also talking about an older population where there's also certainly loneliness among some older people as well. And that is, there seems to me to be a great opportunity in the education area of being able to educate people who may not know how to use the AI tools. They need to be trained on how to, just like we needed to be trained on the internet. We're going to need that. So that might be a whole other area, the educators of the world, not even talking about educators who are reaching out to our K through 12 people and the college educators and all that stuff.
Yes. To your point, that all of that is going to be reimagined. All of education is going to go, and it's going to be political, unfortunately, but yes, all of that will be reimagined, especially over the next few years.
Okay. Hopefully it will create some good opportunities for people, and especially our listeners.
I really hope you're enjoying this episode so far. If you are, can you please do me a small favor? Let some of your family members, friends, or others in your network know about it. And about Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. And hey, if you happen to like this podcast, my interviewing approach, or maybe even my voice, please consider checking out some of the many services my business provides. These include podcast hosting, creation and consulting, voiceovers, professional interviewing, production of audio or video profiles to help you sell your business, promote your services, increase your customers, or raise funding, and services to help you market to the large and growing seniors population. That's something I've actually written a book about. To learn more, please visit www.jeff-ostroff.com. You can also email me at jeff@jeff-ostroff.com. Now let's get back to this episode of Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers.
Chet, looking forward, as you know, we call it looking forward because we're upbeat, we're looking forward to something. As I like to say, how many people are looking forward to jumping off a cliff? They're looking forward to ice cream. And that's what we are. We're upbeat. We're positive. We're looking forward. It's a good thing. And we're looking forward into the future, but we just look a little bit. You talked earlier about who would know 2, 3, 4 years down the road. I, of course, had many guests on during the height of COVID, and that was the big thing. Like, it sort of seemed like it was sprung on us, although some people were predicting it, that sort of thing. If we just kind of extend ourselves out through the rest of this decade, which is now like 6 years away, what do you see in the way of things evolving, things changing?
Absolutely. I'm going to say some things, and some are some tips too that make sense. When people hear me say these things, they're usually a little taken back because of the fact that what I talk about to help us navigate these trends are fairly simple approaches. One of them being that one of the most important ones, I think, is that we have to reimagine community. We have to go back and start to create community. And the reason why I keep saying that is because, or I'm saying it now in more of my presentations, is the fact that human beings are communal creatures, right? So we thrive and succeed best when we're working with other human beings. The more we're taken away from that, or we think that we don't need those things, the more we create the mental challenges and the health challenges that exist. So what has to happen is that we have to start leaning back toward community that helps us make better collective decisions about the technology being used or about climate crisis solutions and those kinds of things. I think we've been living in the space where people have said, oh, we can do it alone. We can't. Not in our most effective selves. So reimagining community is really key. Going out, having potluck dinners with people, spending time, just connecting. There's another one too. It's quite interesting and I feel very strongly about it. I think it really is important for us to start to prioritize health and well-being. It's a non-tech approach. I mean, you can use the technology in order to deal with those things and to navigate the space. But the key is that when health and well-being are at the forefront of how we walk through the earth, we show up as better human beings. Thus, we're able to think through some of the challenges. And my concern, and this is another trend that I didn't mention this earlier, but I'm a little concerned about the dumbing down of America in the United States in particular. I'm starting to see it in other parts of the world too, where there is a pushback against knowledge and insight. And that dumbing down is not sustainable when it comes to democracies. That's one of the main reasons why there is kind of a rise, and I don't want to get into the political aspects of it, but democracies are under strain right now simply because if you don't have an educated populace, and you only need a small percentage, it's tough to maintain them. So there has been this pushback against those things, but I say the health and wellness part allows us to become bright and aware and clear of thought and see, and prioritizing that helps us to think better so that we can maintain democracies or participatory governments. I believe in that. And I believe that you need a healthy and viable populace, because there seems to be, this is based around everything that I'm seeing, a correlation between poor health, the obesity epidemic, the loneliness epidemic, the heart condition epidemic that's happening in a lot of Western countries, and their challenge when they're being challenged, or their participatory governments are being challenged. So I don't know what that means. All I know is that I'm looking at it and say there must be some relationship at some point in time. And then I think one of the things that I recommend, and I'm very adamant about this, I really feel that we have to start to think, this goes back to something I mentioned earlier, we have to start to think about climate adaptation and resilience in our own personal lives. What does it mean? Because there's going to be a lot of climate migration. That's another trend that I didn't mention earlier, but yeah. Climate migration, where people are going to be moving all over different parts of the world, trying to escape some of the extreme weather events. So we have to start to think about a plan, a personal plan of climate adaptation and resilience. Does that mean scaling down? Does that mean changing, moving some other places? Does it mean partnering with your community? All of these things now have to be put on the table. They can't be in theory. You have to go out and start to lay the groundwork for that. So I feel very strongly about those particular opportunities and trends and ways of being able to manage these levels of trends. And because these are trends of scale and they're going to affect every one of us.
They sure are. Chet, I just want to come back to what you said for a minute. With regard to, as you think about communities and some of these other things, these trends you've been talking about, climate, AI, et cetera.
Yeah.
Through the rest of this decade, do you see this stuff kind of getting stronger, evolving, where it's becoming more prominent, or not so much?
Yeah, I'll say this. Definitely climate crisis is going to be a huge challenge, and we haven't even seen the peak of it yet. And I absolutely see that people will be responding. I already see it in different parts of the world. People are responding. It may not seem that way, but yes, people are starting to rethink their lifestyle based around climate adaptation and resilience. I see that. Definitely AI is on a fast track. And I do see people really embracing levels of augmentation, which is why I wanted to suggest that you start to think about how do you incorporate it into your success model as it exists. I definitely see more people talking about finding ways of empowering the world and using these tools for the social good, which is great. I mean, I'm actually stunned by that. And just the whole population bust will continue to expand. We haven't even seen, we're on the upward slide, upward climb on that. And it may not peak when it comes to the shortage of workers and the number of people who are retired. We may not see that for another 5-7 years before that. So there is just going to be a need, an ongoing need forever.
Yeah, and then I guess we'll have this continuing disparity between a growing younger population and workforce in Asia and in Africa versus other parts of the world. The other thing that I want to ask you about is, you gave us a number of tips already.
Yes.
If I'm somebody who is looking for a job or trying to figure out a major, if I'm in college or I want to start a business, or if I'm entrepreneurial, I want to start an entrepreneurial venture, or if I want to invest in something. Again, you can't cover all those, but what would be a couple or three more practical, quick tips that you can give people?
Absolutely. This may seem a little complicated. I'm going to share some insight into what I do as a trend analyst. Whatever you want to do, I'll make this really quick. Go to and check and see what bills are being passed by your state legislature, your prefix legislature. Whatever those things are because these people are being pressured by lobbyists or by individuals to say, we have to get this done. Whatever that is, that's where you're going to find out the biggest trend that was going to affect your immediate future because it's right in your own backyard. So go and just see, okay, what's happening out there? What bills are on deck? Another thing, another futurist tool is that I know this sounds kind of crazy, but you really do have to take a break from social media and start reading other people's books. And that doesn't mean you have to read the whole book. You can do audiobooks. Believe it or not, it can be very helpful just to be able to listen to parts of different people's books and then be able to just write down some of the things that make sense to you. And I only say I'm really advocating books, listening to them, as opposed to just reading doom scrolling on the news feeds, because the books give you a more nuanced and an expanded version of the conversation. Spend time with people's books. Get out of the doom scrolling. I don't think the doom scrolling is very good because of the fact that I'm looking at who's giving you the material, and I'm not happy about the companies that get in and put their material into your doom scrolling feed. It's problematic. Let's put it that way. And then the other thing too is one of the most important things that I do on a regular basis is that I spend a lot of time talking to people. I just go out. And it's when I prep a report for a company, I'm really talking to the people on the ground and because they know better. So these are really good tips to help you to be able to kind of just to be able to get a better picture of everything that's happening. And because a lot of the what I call popcorn media that exists right now is not giving you the full picture. They're giving you the doom scrolling picture because that's what you're attracted to because of our fear-based society and our evolutionary selves that tend to lean into fear. So you want a bigger picture. Get out. That's all I can say. Get out.
Get out, and that's a positive get out.
Yes,
yeah. And you know, the getting out thing reminds me of networking. I've taught a course on how to be luckier in life. And one of the principles is about getting out there and listening to people, hearing what they have to say, because sometimes an idea gets dropped on you or a need gets dropped on you that can help you find your next job, your next venture, whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
As we think about it in this context, there are obviously other great things that come out of conversations, but here we're talking about opportunities. Yes. Shet, this has been fantastic. What is the best way for our listeners to learn more about you, your books, Universal Basic Resources, and whatever else you'd like them to know about?
Absolutely. Please go to universalbasicresources.com or our nonprofit, coleadinternational.com. I want to repeat that because we have two companies that are happening. UniversalBasicResources.com, that's our change management organization. What we do is that we do reports for companies, individuals, organizations in order to figure out what's happening in their industry at that time. And so that we can, you can make better informed decisions based around a new set of standards, not the old stuff back in the day. And then our co-lead international nonprofit organization is based around how do we implement these changes into the real world for the greater good. And we know that that is a trend, and we want to make sure that we're a part of it to make sure we leverage all of these new tools in order to empower our world so that we become a level one civilization.
Wonderful. And also, Chet is on LinkedIn. We'll put some of this in the show notes.
Yes, please.
Chet, it's been terrific having you on. It's been terrific getting to know you. I love your positivity. I love your enthusiasm. You're very engaging. And thank you so much for being our guest on Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers. I hope you've enjoyed it and will benefit from it. And if you did like it, please share this episode with anyone you know who you think might also find it of value. And if you have any comments or questions about Looking Forward, or any suggestions for future topics or guest experts, you can reach me at the website www.jeff-ostroff.com or through my email address, jeff@jeff-ostroff.com. Thanks.